talking about the game is no game.
Danny Ainge, what does it feel like the day you see your baseball card and the word bust is put next to it?
Dutcher and Rich.
I don't have a problem with that.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Hardy is in for Rich today.
Yes, hi.
I imagine he's going to be here for a while. Rich is saying that he might have that strep throat. He went from having a sore throat just to jumping right in to strep throat. He's probably going to get that looked at today. But that is a wild jump.
Well, strep throat is something that you have to have diagnosed. Did he go to the doctor?
He has not yet. But I will hand it to him. He did send the email out around 4:30, or the text out, which I appreciate, because then you're able to get your ducks in a row.
Yeah, self-diagnosed strep throat, though. That's sketchy.
I think you add that on to prove to the powers that be that this is no laughing matter. This is not something that is a laughing matter. By the way, you like golf. Before we get into any Oscars.
Sure.
You like golf.
I do.
You like watching it on television.
Yeah.
What was the golf tournament this weekend?
Yeah, don't know. I was at the Golf Expo all weekend, and I can tell you who won. It was the what Open, Dan? Mexico Open.
Mm-hmm. Right. The World Golf Championship, I think.
All right.
All right, well, anyway, so it had everyone's attention. So I am at, I have lunch with my family. My son is at a baseball affair down the street. I'm watching Michigan State, Michigan.
Yep.
The Big Ten semifinal, CBS television, and there's I'm at a table and I'm watching it, and my wife and daughter leave, and I think that I don't want to take up this guy's table anymore. It's a four top. I would like to move to the bar. I go to the bar, and on one screen there is Red Sox spring training. And I say, hey, do you guys mind if I turn this? And they go, no, we're watching. I said, that's fine. Then I go, hey, can you turn this to CBS? And this man who has, by the way, been massaging his girlfriend or wife's back the entire time and looking at a phone.
Nice.
Is there anything more just cringeworthy than someone rubbing someone's back in a public setting?
I think it's loving. And
that's real nice.
I like to see the human interaction.
Yeah, because you can't go 10 seconds without me rubbing your back. I can't sit like a normal person with you. You know what that says to me? You're going to be together forever.
Yeah.
I feel the need to rub your back constantly.
Right.
Because I'm so secure in this relationship. What could possibly go wrong?
I'm going to pet you.
Yeah, I'm going to pet you like an effing dog. and she's turned to him away from the television with her feet on like his stool. And he's got his arm around her, rubbing her, and he's got, and they're looking at the cell phone. Now, I know all of this because I'm looking at them angrily, and I go, hey, can you put CBS on this TV? And then the bartender goes, nah, this guy's watching golf.
Went to the bar to watch golf.
Like, he came in, he's not watching it, first of all, and it's Saturday.
Yeah.
So he came into a bar on Saturday and just said, hey, pop on the Mexican Open.
Yeah.
I got some rubbing my back of my lady to do.
Mexico Open is not much must-watch golf. The Mexico Championship.
I'm going to say short of the four majors, and I'll even give you, say it's Sunday, and it's 6 o'clock. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Saturday?
No.
3 o'clock in the afternoon?
Nope.
They're making the turn.
I mean, what the hell are you doing?
Making the turn on a Saturday.
And then the bartender gets annoyed. The bartender gets annoyed with me for like bothering him to ask if I can put a Big Ten game on.
Sorry, can we watch sports on any of these TVs? Because spring training and third round of the Mexico Championship do not count.
Look, the spring training's bad enough because it was like one of those one camera affairs where it's like there's just a camera behind home plate. Like that you're really into the split squad game. Like, oh yeah, I wonder what Matheny's kid's going to do in this game because he's got a long career ahead of him in the major leagues. You know what I like? Not only is it not a game of base because there's nothing more compelling than a baseball game on June 2nd. What I really like is one in the beginning of May or March that doesn't count. That's what I really want to see. I want to see Pomerantz. I know. I think he actually got hurt, but I want to see. I want to see Rodriguez throw 40 pitches. That's what I want to see. I want to see him on a nice pitch count. I got to see it. I can't get enough of it. So that's bad enough. But he got trumped by golf. You can't do that. You can't. And then on top of that, you're rubbing your girl's back. On a consistent basis.
How old are these people? How old is the man and the woman?
In their 90s. No. younger than me. I would assume younger than me.
Okay.
But that's like fair behavior. You know, if you go to like an amusement park or a fair, there's always a guy that's like 5'5", 90 pounds with a behemoth of a woman. And he's always like rubbing her back and trying. And then there's that smell coming off of her. Like cotton candy and ham.
Those are pheromones, my friend.
They are. They're pheromones saying, please leave me alone.
Stop touching me. Please.
No, but there'll always be that guy like and he like rubbing that fat lady's back the whole time. And these were young, seemingly attractive people. And they can't be married or they could not have been dating for a long period of time.
No.
I mean, it's an act of desperation. You have to rub her back and watch golf. He went to a bar and he said, can you put golf on?
You think that's going to save the relationship? You rub her back, but you're in a bar watching golf on a Saturday. You think that's really going to save your relationship?
You know what? Maybe they lost power and they were just happy to be somewhere with some, you know, the warm glow of electronics around them, and they were just happy. They were just celebrating life.
Then I should have just put a bottle of Lexapro in front of them and said, get out. They need golf. They need to see people in the sun putting and sitting there. Disgusting.
What town was this?
This was the wrong side of Newton.
Oh, well, there you go. That's what you get.
I mean, you got these golf thugs walking every which way but loose. Just found that very odd. And you know what I did, Hardy? Put it on Instagram.
A photo of them?
Yeah, I bridged to their faces. No, I put a picture of an innocuous picture of a television.
Oh, okay.
But I was so peeved.
I have to follow.
It grinded my gears to the point, Hardy, that I put it on Instagram.
That's how upset you got.
That it was. That I had to go, ah! Right? Am I right? That's what I said to the people.
I'm going to look it up right now.
Yeah.
All right. Does he want to talk Oscars later?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had to get that story out. No. I think the people can relate. It's a little slice of life.
There it is. It's a picture of a basketball game.
Yeah, that's from the table.
Can't watch MSU game at the bar because the guy wants to watch golf. Pure evil. But you put a picture of a television with the basketball game on it.
I was at a table and I have the common sense and decency not to take up a table. And then there's Kitty Cat James Stewart.
Yeah, we got to work on your Instagram captioning. This makes no sense. I've heard the story and it still doesn't make sense.
All right, screw you. Here's the CBS Sports Minute, Captain. You should give lessons, like, and get every idiot boss at businesses to pay attention to you and pay.
Hey, there's Kitty Litter James Stew on your Instagram.
Yeah, you want me to do another 5 minutes of that?
In your car at 98.5. On your phone on the new Sports Hub app. And on your computer. 98.5thesportshub.com. Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Burt Breer was in Indianapolis when we talked to him on Friday. He didn't have a voice. He assures us that he does now. He was matriculating. I guess that's not the right word. He was shaking hands and kissing babies at the combine. Hello, Mr. Burt Breer.
I promise you I'm in better shape now than I was then. I promise you.
All right.
I'm back home. I didn't have a lick of alcohol last night. I'm good to go.
All right. Well, that's a shame. You should really keep up the alcohol. But I'll let that slide. Okay. Coming out and watching the quarterbacks, I know that Darnold didn't throw, but looking at the quarterbacks, who impressed you the most?
Well, you know, I just go on what the coaches who are evaluating these guys tell me. And, you know, obviously I think the guy who got the most buzz coming out of Saturday was Josh Allen, just because he's the one who looks the most impressive physically. He's got the frame of in what NFL teams are looking for. And he can throw the ball hard and long without putting much effort into it. And so I think he was the one who kind of jumped off the screen to everybody. But the guys that I've talked to that I, you know, I trust on this sort of stuff, say the one who had the best day throwing the ball and was the most consistent was actually Baker Mayfield. He is the most accurate of them. He's got plenty of arm. He throws in anticipation. I really believe this guy's. If Baker Mayfield were 6'4", I don't think there'd be much of a discussion about who the first pick in the draft was going to be. And so that's sort of what teams have to get around now. But I think, you know, as far as the most physically impressive quarterback on Saturday, it was probably Josh Allen. But the guy who had the best day was Baker Mayfield.
Don't you hear Josh Allen is dumb, though?
Yeah, wow, you really put me on the spot there.
Well, there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah, don't you think you've heard he's dumb?
I think he needs to prove that he can digest an NFL playbook and he can get out there and process within the confines of an NFL offense. That's one of the big things. So, you know, whereas for Johnny Manziel and for Johnny Manziel, God, I made that mistake already. Baker Mayfield and Josh Rosen. I think the interview was the most important part of the weekend, where they had to come in and prove who they were from a personality standpoint. For Josh Allen, it was actually getting up on the whiteboard and being able to explain, you know, being able to digest some of the stuff these NFL teams are going to be teaching him and show that he's able to process within an NFL offense.
All right, Bert, you mentioned the whiteboard, and I was reading that that was a problem for Lamar Jackson. And the whole thing about Jackson over the weekend is puzzling to me. Was he asked to be a wide receiver, and he turned it down, or did anyone ask him to run wide receiver drills? What's the story around him?
Okay, so the way this works is before the combine, there's a big personnel meeting, and the teams have a chance to put in requests for players to do different things. And it's not uncommon. I mean, you know, where you see it the most, Rolick is actually the guys who are, you know, sort of edge rushers who could be playing down in a 4-3 or up in a 3-4. A lot of times those guys will come in as defensive ends, and teams will put in requests for them to do linebacker drills. And so it's one of those things that comes up, and they're either told yes or no. And so I know that you know, when they had that meeting, there were teams that asked to see Jackson as a receiver. Obviously, it didn't happen. But, yeah, that has come up. I can tell you when Bill Polian said what he said, what was it, a week ago now?
Yeah.
That wasn't the first time I'd heard the idea that the teams like the idea of, you know, seeing Lamar Jackson as a receiver. And so that piece of it, I think, is certainly something that's been out there. I don't think it's going to happen, but, you know, there are teams that have wanted to see that. The same way there were teams that wanted to see Tebow as an H-back in 2010. Now, as for his ability to process and, again, run an NFL offense, I think the questions there are similar to the ones that are going to be facing Josh Allen, where, you know, teams are going to see him, want to see him on the whiteboard. I think the private workout is going to be important for him, and his meetings are going to be important, showing that he can grow beyond what he was asked to do at Louisville.
All right. Is it Shaquan Griffin? Am I pronouncing that correct?
Shaquem Griffin.
Okay. Well, yeah. I don't know how I got that wrong. All right. So Shaquem Griffin.
And his brother's Shaquille, which makes me feel really old. All these kids who are named after Shaq, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, why is the U in there? But okay. Shaquem Griffin. I saw him play a couple times at UCF, and he seemed, I mean, he was one of the guys that really stood out. He was born with, or he at 4 years old, he had to have his hand removed. and he ran one of the fastest 40 time for a linebacker in a decade. You saw that he put up 20 reps. And again, watching him, especially in that Peach Bowl, he was dominant.
Yep.
Where do you see him going in the draft?
I think he certainly helped himself this weekend. He's a great kid. That's what everybody says about him. And, you know, obviously you can see what sort of athlete he is. My sense is that he helped himself to the point where he probably goes maybe at the start of the third day of the draft, which would put him at the top of the fourth round. Look, I think he can really contribute right away on special teams and be a developmental linebacker. He's a little undersized, so he's not perfect as a prospect. But there is certainly potential there. That doesn't mean that his physical, ailment isn't going to affect where he's drafted. I mean, there are certain things that I think you absolutely have to ask. You know, his ability. Now, he's been dealing with this his whole life, so it's not like he's got to adjust. But, his ability to take on blockers and shed. Like I said, he can play on some special teams, but, if you put him on the punt team, say, can he block? There are those questions that I think are going to be out there for him that he can't answer, that teams are going to have to take a leap of faith on. And so I think it's, crazy to think that he'd go in the first round or anything like that, but he certainly helped himself this weekend. And at least a couple teams that I talked to about it yesterday said there's a pretty good chance that he's going very, very early on day three if he doesn't slip into day two.
Burrett, does Saquon Barkley really helped himself? Apparently now he is Cleveland's pick, is at number one overall. And I'm sorry, I'm ignorant about this, but what makes him different than Trent Richardson, another really good back who had similar numbers at Alabama and went number three overall to Cleveland, and that was a big swing and a miss.
Yeah. All right, well, I mean, first of all, if I had to put my money on it right now, I'd say Cleveland either takes a quarterback or trades the pick to somebody who will. My logic on this whole thing, and I think, Cleveland adheres to this too, is if there's a quarterback that you see worthy of taking fourth overall, you're just going to take him with the first pick. You're not going to roll the dice like that. If you feel comfortable enough taking a quarterback fourth overall, then you're tying your job security to that guy. So you might as well just take him number one. That said, Saquon Barkley, and this is going back to October, November, when I started to ask around about him. He's considered a better prospect than Todd Gurley was coming out in 2015, a better prospect than Ezekiel Elliott was in 2016, and a better prospect than Leonard Fournette was coming out last year. That's not to say he's way better than them, but he's a little bit better than each of those guys. And one of the reasons why he is considered really, really valuable as a player, and again, you got to wrap your arms around the idea of drafting one that high, is because he fits this new prototype for tailbacks, which is a 230-pound guy who can catch the ball and play on all three downs. That's what Zeke was. That's what Joe Mixon was last year. That's what Todd Gurley's proven to be. Fournette's a little bit more of a throwback, but that's absolutely what Barkley is. More than a running back, he's an offensive weapon who you can move around and use in a zillion different ways. The big question is, how do you value that position? My belief, and I've said this for a while, the two best players in the draft are a running back and a guard, the kid from Notre Dame, Quentin Nelson. And where those guys go is going to come down to how comfortable teams feel using high picks on guys at those positions, because there are plenty of teams that feel like they can get running backs, they can get guards later on in the process. In fact, as good as Fournette was last year for Jacksonville, going fourth overall, the NFL's rushing champion, Kareem Hunt, was a rookie in Kansas City who went to the third round.
All right, finally, Bert, Kirk Cousins, what are you hearing about him?
Yeah, I know all four teams were able to sort of make their pitches over the weekend. I think all four of them did a good job with that. That's the Cardinals, the Jets, the Vikings, and the Broncos. There's a little bit of a shell game going on here with all those teams, and I know they all have to come up with contingency plans. My expectation is the Broncos are going to be in on Case Keenum. The Vikings had made an offer, a pretty strong offer to Case Keenum back in November. And I think they'll also be in on AJ McCarron. And so, there are lots of moving pieces here. Obviously, the domino that needs to fall is Kirk Cousins. What's interesting to me about all of this going forward is I was told over the weekend that Kirk really does want to meet with whoever his offensive coordinator and head coach are going to be before he signs anywhere, which could hold up the process when we get to March 14th. He could have an idea of who he wants to sign when free agency opens, but he may want to take a visit or two. And usually the top free agents don't do that. Now, I'm not sure that he's actually going to go through with it, but if he were to do that, and you were to want to make sure you can check that box and sit down with the head coach, sit down with an offensive coordinator, and make sure, you know, he's picked the place that he's picked the place that he's comfortable with, then that could absolutely positively hold up the process for other quarterbacks like Keenum and Sam Bradford, Teddy Bridgewater, and AJ McCarron, and the rest of the free agents that will be out there.
All right. Well, Bert Breer sounding healthy as a horse. Getting out of Indianapolis.
Little better than Friday, Fred?
A little better than Friday, I will say that. Bert Breer, thank you so much for the time, sir.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, we'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Toucher and Rich. Rich out today. Sick. It's me, Hardy, filling in. Fred's sashaying is rear end back into the studio. Anytime, Fred.
I'm here, baby.
Live radio program.
Listen, as soon as I hear Mississippi Queen, I know it's time to get in here.
Well, that puts a little spring in your step, doesn't it?
Coming in here and jam it out a little bit. All right. Hardy, the Oscars were last night.
Indeed, they were.
And I like nothing more than masturbatory celebrations of people that are already given so much in life.
Well, as usual, there were some films that were, I guess, celebrated last night that I will probably never see. Forget about the ones I haven't seen. In terms of, like, the Best Picture nominees, I think I saw two.
You never saw The Shape of Water?
I did not see The Shape of Water.
She falls in love with a dang sea creature.
The dang fish. Bestiality. Adam and Eve, not Adam and fish.
Yeah, she sits there and she don't say a
fish
word.
Fish and Eve.
She don't say a word, and apparently all she gives these eggs to this kid. And the next thing you know, he's all out and about with his fish life.
Well, doesn't it look a lot like the fish from Hellboy? From the fish man in Hellboy? Which is another Guillermo del Toro movie. I don't know. I was kind of soured on the whole idea of it to begin with. But that one, Best Picture.
If you tell me one of the leads has no dialogue, I immediately think right. This is a 2.5 hour thing I want to sit through.
Best Director, once again, why am I able to say this?
Guillermo.
Say it again.
Guillermo?
Guillermo.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I said. All right, so he was the director of The Shape of Water. He won that. Gary Oldman, which a movie I desperately wanted to see until everyone told me, no, it's so boring, don't see it.
Wait, Gary Oldman was in a boring movie?
But Gary Oldman, Fred.
He's been in, where was the one where he was the drug dealer with the cornrows? Was that the True Romance? I liked him in that.
Oh, God, was he in that?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that movie in its entirety.
Maybe if you want to talk about the Oscars, you can put your director's cap on, and maybe we can get somewhere.
Well, that's really more of a casting cap than a director's cap, all right?
Okay.
But he played Winston Churchill in The Darkest Hour, and I probably won't end up seeing that one either. Frances McDormand, Best Actress for 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. That's one I did see. And Sam Rockwell got Supporting Actor for that same movie. And then Allison Janney for I, Tonya. One Best Supporting Actress. Get Out, a lot of people thought was going to get a lot of stuff. It ended up getting original screenplay, which I think is about right. I saw that movie. I thought it was a good movie, but I think the best thing about it was the idea behind the movie.
Did you see Woody Harrelson's teeth? They're almost shaved down, his front teeth.
What's wrong with his teeth?
His front 4 or 5, 6 teeth are all much shorter than the other teeth in his mouth.
Well, do you think that's by design? Do you think he's having that done cosmetically?
Yes.
I just want porpoise teeth. I want tiny little teeth.
I think it's some freakish thing, like cutting or something like that. His body dysmorphia, and he wants to shave his teeth.
With what, like a nail file? What's he doing?
I don't know. What do these Hollywood fat cats do? He probably goes to some some herbalist and they knocked down his teeth. I don't know.
But there's a couple of things that happened during the show. And first off, this is a great catch by Mike Lockhart. Whose voice does this sound like at the very start of the broadcast last night?
Tonight's regularly scheduled episode of Celebrity Street Fights with Mario Lopez will not be seen this evening so that we may bring you the 90th annual awards of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.
Don Pardo?
I think it sounds like John Reilly. It sounds like our very own voice got to the point where I wonder if it's him.
Tonight's regularly scheduled episode of Celebrity Street Fights with Mario Lopez will not be seen this evening so that we may bring you the 90th annual awards of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences.
Did Mario Lopez look embarrassed when they showed him at the Oscars?
Well, no, that was just the very beginning.
We knew it was
so they didn't have the opportunity to do a cutaway to the front row. Where he was sitting next to Meryl Streep.
He was sitting backwards in his chair, too, resting his arms on the back of the chair.
Right. But the whole old-timey voice thing,
yeah,
I'm a big fan of it. Jimmy Kimmel, obviously, a big fan, too. They went with a whole theme for the open of the show.
It's the 90th Annual Academy Awards, beaming to you live in stunning black and white from the historic Dolby Theater, just a hop and a skip away from Hooters, where all the savvy stars mingle and mix. And here we go, as they begin to arrive, there's the jubilant Emma Stone. Last year, Emma won the Oscar for Best Actress. Will she do it again tonight? No. And Chadwick Boseman, the King of Wakanda. Imagine, a country with a black leader. Wouldn't that be swell? Now it's time to go inside, where tonight's godless Hollywood elitists are on the edge of their seats. There is the incomparable Meryl Streep. She's been nominated for 21 Oscars, but her most important role is that of mother to her four children. Just kidding. She doesn't even know their names.
Now, this is a good indication of where it starts to go bad in the Oscars, because they can't so much as look at somebody on the screen without, oh, we have to clap. We have to celebrate ourselves.
Have you seen a film where you were like, Meryl Streep, this is amazing? Or is it something that insists upon itself?
Kramer versus Kramer.
I never saw Kramer versus Kramer. It hit too close to home.
It's she's great in, well, I don't know. She's very depressed.
Death Wait, becomes
Kramer,
her.
She's not even in the movie that much.
Is Kramer versus Kramer the one with the boxing?
No.
Okay. No, I saw Kramer versus Kramer. I saw it when I was. It's Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah,
right?
She and Dustin Hoffman.
I saw it over Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Oh, did you really?
Yeah, it was a laugh riot.
It's like, feel good.
Look at you two. You can't even get it together. look, I want the kid.
Yeah.
I mean, you see her in enough things, and yeah, she's really, really good.
But when have you ever thought, like, this is amazing? This is Meryl.
Bridges of Madison County.
The Devil Wears Prada?
Death Becomes Her.
I really can't think of another Meryl Streep movie that I've actually
seen. There was the one where she's
enjoyed.
Like, hey, I'm walking through the desert.
Crocodile Dundee?
Yeah.
She's in that?
Yeah.
They call it the Outback, Fred.
She falls in love with Dundee.
She looks different.
She's like, ah, Dundee, will you ever learn? You're on a subway. You can't be holding a big knife. People are going to think you're a serial killer.
No, that's not a knife. This is what I call a knife.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know,
classic.
She was on Friends.
Yeah, but not for like the entire run. It was like
Phoebe.
A season.
She was Phoebe.
No, she was Phoebe's mom for a season.
Okay. All right. So what else?
So, all right. Well, we got a lot else. You want to do it now or you want to do it on the other side?
Other side? You mean you want to flip it to break? You want to flip it to break?
On the other side, kid.
All right, we'll do it to the other side. We'll take it on through to the other side.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
They hire cowboys and they hang their caps up and all their maps up.
And you've never seen any of the movies that are nominated. Except the one Shape of Water about some fish man.
Bestiality.
Well...
They hire cowboys.
Do they end up hooking up?
I don't know if they consummate their relationship. Godless relationship.
All right, so what's going on? What happened with these Oscars? I missed the whole dang thing.
Well, Shape of Water won the Best Picture, Best Director. Gary Oldman won the Best Actor. And by the way, we're just having a discussion in the back room. Gary Oldman might be the most... under-talked about actor. He might be the greatest actor of all time. It might be Gary Oldman, Fred.
And for what?
For everything that he does, where he completely transforms himself. I mean, you asked about Meryl Streep. I'm like, that's a good question. I'm looking back at all these movies that Meryl Streep has done. I'm like, yeah, there's some good movies in there, but there's nothing in there that really like blows you away where you think, oh my goodness, you know, she really, you know, took a turn there. You look at the stuff that Gary Oldman has done. Now, not all of them end up being great movies. Like, he was in the Francis Ford Coppola version of Dracula, where he plays Dracula.
I was aware that came out. John, go ahead.
Oh, hey, guys, hey.
Hey.
I mean, when you start talking about Meryl Streep, I just get me so fired up because, like, I want to preface this with my rant before, but saying this, she's not a bad actress. But Hardy hit it right there with saying, if you go over her list of movies, she's literally the same person in every single role. And for the past 15 years, she just trots herself out to make an Oscar. It's like automatic, oh, Meryl did it, Oscar, boom, yeah. Throw it up on the list there.
She's a fine actress. There's nothing wrong with her. But I don't know if I've ever seen someone else who's a performer that just gets... I mean, just everyone's she's the most fantastic thing that's ever walked the earth.
I mean, she played Julia Child. She played the Italian immigrant in Bridges of Madison County. She does enough things
differently. What are you watching, Bridges of Madison County?
Oh, just several times.
Do you want my apron?
Well, Clint Eastwood goes shirtless in it as an older man, and let me tell you something.
Hey,
but
he's got his game together.
Margaret Thatcher? You know, she does a lot of different
things.
These
sound like things that are really interesting.
She's not the same person. She's not Al Pacino. Where Al Pacino's the same dude in every movie.
Right.
You know what? That's not even a fair thing to say anymore because he does character stuff too. But I'm telling you.
He was Scarface.
Gary Oldman.
The finest acting role of all
time. He's in that movie
time.
Dick Tracy, right?
Gary Oldman
one of the bad guys.
They couldn't find anyone who was actually Cuban to play the role of Scarface.
No, there's no Cuban actors.
Yeah, I mean,
do you want to give him Ricky Ricardo? Please.
It's impossible to find an actual Cuban guy to play Scarface.
You go Gary Oldman in The Fifth Element, where he's almost unrecognizable. You mentioned True Romance.
No.
He's Commissioner Gordon, but he was also Mason Verger in the Hannibal movie. You can't. You can barely recognize him in a great movie called The Contender. I'm like, oh my God, that is Gary Oldman. Darkest Hour, he transforms himself. He's just Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. He does all these roles, and it's tough to believe that he's just some like mild-mannered British guy underneath
all the time.
So
he is the greatest actor of all time, dude, who's rolling Dawn of the Planet of the Apes?
Yeah, that's the one movie. That's the one that I'm going to stick to. He was Lee Harvey Oswald in JFK. Do you even remember that?
You know what I know about JFK? It was 4 hours long.
All right.
It was two tapes at Blockbuster.
Why don't you go ahead and roll on your little machine over there. We have Jimmy Kimmel's opening monologue, 90 seconds of
it
anyway.
Does he address is he afraid to tread on the issues of the day in Hollywood?
Jimmy Kimmel ain't afraid of nothing.
All right.
This year, when you hear your name called, don't get up right away. Just give us a minute. We're going to want another thing.
In reference to last year's gaffe.
Yeah.
About announcing the wrong one.
They said La La Land won.
That's right.
And then everyone said there had to have been a big mistake because no one actually enjoyed that film.
No one likes the singing and the dancing on Cars.
But by the way, Kimmel has this quality about him where he can say these things and he doesn't laugh at himself, you know, Jimmy Fallon-wise. But he does it in such a way where it's hard to get mad at Jimmy Kimmel.
Yes.
He's just got that face. He's got that delivery where how can you... He's not a jerk about it, but he's saying jerky things, as you will hear.
Can't ruin this one. This is a special year. This is a big one. These are the 90th Academy Awards. This is history happening right here. Our friend Oscar is 90 years old tonight, which means he's probably at home right now watching Fox News. Oscar is the most beloved and respected man in Hollywood, and there's a very good reason why. Just look at him. Keeps his hands where you can see them. Never says a rude word. And most importantly, no penis at all.
Yeah, but that's no man.
That's a
sculpture.
It's a statue is what it is. Big one there on the statue stage.
No, he's looking up at a big one?
Big one.
I would counter that, and I would say, Jimmy Kimmel, that's no man at all.
Mm.
And the only reason he hasn't said anything is because he can't speak.
They should have you write alongside Adam Carolla.
Yeah, I would.
The two of you in the writer's room helping out your buddy Kimmel.
I would have many, many issues with that.
Yeah.
So, like, why don't you point out, like, Wilford Brimley? He's never done anything to hurt no one.
Bring it up when you're in the green room later this
month. I will. I go, you know what you whiffed on was the Oscar joke.
All of them. You whiffed on all of them.
Yeah, I got some notes.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of men we need more of in this town. Here's how clueless Hollywood is about women. We made a movie called What Women Want, and it starred Mel Gibson. Kind of all you need to know. The Academy, as you're no doubt aware, took action last year to expel Harvey Weinstein from their ranks. There were a lot of great nominees, but Harvey deserved it the most. And, oh, that's nice. That's very sweet. So I was curious, so I looked it up. You know, the only other person to be expelled from the Academy ever was a character actor named Carmine Caridi. In 2004, he was kicked out for sharing screeners. Carmine Caridi got the same punishment as Harvey Weinstein for giving his neighbor a copy of Seabiscuit on VHS.
It's a good joke.
Yeah.
You're still pissed off about him not taking the statue thing in a different direction.
Did Seabiscuit come out in 2003?
I'm sure it did. I'm sure they researched the joke so it'd be accurate.
Okay. Well, as long as it all adds up.
Do you want to move to what they did to try and shorten up the Oscars?
Sure.
Okay, so this was their idea in order to keep people, you know, to kind of keep things moving for the sake of time, because as we all know, the Oscars can be very long.
This is a really long show. So here's what we're going to do. Not saying you shouldn't give a long speech, but whoever gives the shortest speech tonight will go home with... Johnny, tell them what they'll win.
It's a brand new jet ski. Cruising comfort on the 2018 Kawasaki Ultra 310LX, the number one choice for watercraft enthusiasts. Retail price, $17,999. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thank you, Helen. Thank you, John. Helen Mirren not included.
Yeah, they had Helen Mirren.
Yeah,
up there,
see, it's a model with the rich just keep getting richer.
Yeah, yeah. So the guy who ended up winning it was the Phantom Thread costume designer Mark Bridges, who won his Oscar, gave an acceptance speech of 30 seconds, and they gave him the jet ski at the end.
And by the way, they went back to it. You know, they wanted to punch it one more time, so they added on a trip to Lake Havasu.
Oh, that's right.
In Arizona.
I feel like some of you aren't taking the jet ski thing as seriously as I had hoped. The leader right now is Mark Bridges, the costume designer from Phantom Thread. He did his in 36 seconds, which is solid. That's going to be tough to beat. And I would like to, I know actors like motivation, so we're sweetening the pot. Johnny?
A trip to sunny Lake Havasu. You and a guest will drive round trip from Burbank for a 3-day, 2-night stay at the beautiful Havasu Days Inn. You'll enjoy fishing, sleeping, and don't forget to bring your jet ski to the place where Arizona comes to play, beautiful Lake Havasu.
And the pictures they showed were so god-awful. Like, it just looks like...
It was a spring break destination.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. We'll have no commercials here, only the headlines.